In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we continue the series on the Ten Commandments that began on the first Friday of this academic year. And the commandment that we are covering today is the one we just read together. I would like to read the extended version of this commandment as it is found in Exodus chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. When I was a child, whenever the third commandment was taught, the emphasis was on every Sunday church attendance. In my case, that meant not just once, but three times each Sunday, morning, afternoon, and night, three different places, but the same 35 to 40-minute sermon. There was not much joy in those worship experiences, especially when my pastor father would get all over my brothers and myself, sometimes even from the pulpit, for not paying close attention to the 1 hour and 45-plus minutes of his preaching. So sit back and relax for the next hour and 45 minutes. I must say that Sunday for me was not a time of rest, as the Sabbath was originally intended to be. In spite of that negative beginning, I must also say that I get much joy in leading and participating in worship today. Risking sounding sanctimonious, I do cherish preaching and hearing God's word. I do hold it sacred. In fact, one of the most incredible parts of my role as campus chaplain is being here with you in these daily chapel services. And guess what? I get paid for doing this. But so do all of you who earn a living on this campus. I understand, and I hope that you do too, how the psalmist could sing out, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house, O Lord, singing your praises. A day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere." But the third commandment is not just about gathering together under word and sacrament. It's about rest, or what I would call balance in life. In our world of 80-hour work weeks and disappearing vacations, pensions, and benefits, hopefully not for LCMS church workers, rest or balance in life is difficult to achieve, is it not? 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, we read in Exodus. By the way, do the profs understand that you students are not to study on the weekend? Where is the rest that literally recreates us? Do we take it? Do we even know that it exists? The commandments requiring us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, that commandment is easy to forget. That commandment is also about far more than just getting ourselves into a pew each weekend or every day here at chapel. That commandment is about authentic rest. It's about the quality of life that can be lived only when we have a lasting relationship with Christ and with his body, the church. Ovid, the ancient Latin poet, tells of the gifted young sculptor of Cyprus named Pygmalion. Pygmalion despised women and resolved never to marry. Ironically, he set about with a hammer and chisel to produce the statue of a woman in order to display it as a mockery. A form began to emerge, though, which intrigued him. as he worked frequently many days and well into the night, he took a hammer and chisel to produce the shape of a woman. And as this form came, from that point on, when he saw this form that he was producing, the blows from his hammer became even softer. Finesse and devotion occupied his every movement. As a result, beneath his skillful fingers, the figure became more and more beautiful until at last no further improvements could be made. Such grace, such beauty had she, so lifelike was she. She must have a name by which he could address her, he thought. She must have a robe and gifts and flowers. Pygmalion had fallen desperately in love with a lifeless piece of marble. He would not pretend. So he spoke to her. He held her hands in his. And he reached out in his heart to the very thing that he had created. Such was his continuing, all-giving love that, according to Ovid, Pygmalion literally loved the lifeless form he had created into a living being. This ancient legend can also teach us a very simple lesson. In a far greater way, in fact, in a manner beyond our imagination or understanding, God has done the same thing with his creation, with us. He didn't just make us into breathing beings. No, he loves us into more. Through word and sacrament, he makes us truly alive, capable of living according to his will, capable of loving because he in Christ first loved us. That love changes the way we approach the third commandment, or the other nine for that matter. That love helps us look at our God as someone who does not just make demands on us and then lets us stumble around in the dark wondering how we're going to get along with him. Through the cross and the resurrection of his Son, he sets us free. He sets us free from our sins and then calls us into a relationship of love and trust and willing obedience. And that begins and ends for you and for me, not in the commandments, but in our baptisms. That's why with the Apostle Paul, each of us can cry out, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Remember this Sabbath day to keep it holy? We don't have any Sabbaths anymore because that's Saturday. But we do have times on the weekends and here in our daily chapels when we can take a break from our work, our studies, the busyness of life, times in which we can allow our Lord Christ through word and sacrament to come to us and turn our willfulness around and make his will ours. Remember, he hears our cries for mercy before we even utter them. Yes, because he has taken the death that our sins deserve upon his own body, because he died in our place and rose again, defeating all evil, you and I are now free to approach our God in confidence. We are able to live under his merciful love. And knowing this is what makes these times of worship times of celebration and praise. Yes, knowing this is what gives us true peace and true rest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.